This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The bigger picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivisodhi. It's our Doctor in the House series. Dr. George Lee in for his weekly show. Yes. How are you today,
I'm very
George?
Good. Well, yeah. You know, long Chinese New Year break.
Yes, I'm in Chub Gourmet on Tuesday.
It is, yeah.
The 2 weeks have gone by.
Just like that.
Gone by.
It had been a long week for me, you know, climbing up the mountain.
Yes, and then George, you went up Mount Kinabalu. You wanted to share that experience with me.
Shuti Shuti Malaysia, right? It's a life-changing event, but, you know, now I can't feel my life.
you managed to walk in.
Yeah, I know. Just about. Yeah, it's really good. I think for those people who hadn't done the climb should do that.
Tell me something, George. Did you have to train very hard to go up Mount Kinabalu?
Right.
That's why you couldn't feel your legs laugh.
That's right, yeah, exactly. That's why. You could see all the nice pictures on my Instagram, but the pain behind the scenes is just unbearable. It's okay. Still unbearable now.
Planning to do Annapurna, perhaps, or Everest Base Camp?
Yes.
No, I'll recover from this one first.
That's it, first and last.
Okay, all right. Today we're discussing LASIK surgery. I mean,
indeed.
It's something we all, talk about and have been doing quite frequently over the years. Mm-hmm. Every now and then we read news about laser eye surgeries that have gone wrong at the same time. Recently, a former official from the FDA in the US who led the FDA team to approve LASIK, he has now said that the decision was a mistake.
Yeah.
So joining us in the studio after a very long time, Dr. Kenneth Fong, our consultant ophthalmologist and retinal surgeon. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kenneth. How are you today?
Hi, Meera. Hi, George. Yeah, great.
Just came back from Antarctica.
Yes. Talk about Mount Kinabalu. Just came back from Antarctica.
Yeah, this was a 2-year plan. I mean, we planned to go last year, but because of bad weather, the trip was cancelled. So this is the replacement voyage.
And was it a good one?
Yeah. It's definitely worth going because, you know, global warming and all these icebergs are not going to be there forever.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So, but it was interesting. It's a very, very long trip to go all the way there. But, you know, if you have the chance to, you should consider it.
Yeah. Okay. Lots of penguins, I hear.
Penguins, icebergs, whales.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you get tired of the same scenery every day?
No, the scenery changes every day. But I got tired of being on a ship for 2 weeks, for sure.
Oh.
Yeah, you're on a very rocky ship.
Okay.
I won that bucket list.
2 weeks on a rocky ship. I ain't going there. Okay, so let's talk about LASIK, Dr. Ken. I'm sure, why don't you give us a background on laser eye surgery, how it first developed, and when was it approved, and how has it evolved?
Yeah, so to clarify, I mean, I'm an eye doctor, so I treat also eye disease. I don't do laser refractive surgery. As you can see, I'm still wearing my glasses. Mm-hmm. But certainly, I mean, I've been in this industry for more than 20 years, so, you know, it's something that has developed in my profession. LASIK actually is an acronym for laser-assisted, and where you make a cut in the cornea. And it's become popularized over the last 20 years for refractive surgery. But actually, to do refractive surgery, you do many things to the cornea, which is the front of the eye, and LASIK is just one of those few procedures. Mm-hmm. There's a few other things you can do now called SMILE, PRK, and they're all addressing different parts of the cornea. LASIK as a whole, PRK actually came about. PRK was actually treating the front of the cornea, whereas LASIK makes a cut in the cornea. And PRK came about in the 1990s, and then LASIK came about a couple of years later. So since its approval in, I think, 1991, 1992, LASIK has been more than 40 million people worldwide.
40
million.
40.
Yeah. So it's a hugely popular procedure that's been done worldwide. And it hit its peak in about the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
But since 2000, in the last 15 to 20 years, there's actually been a gradual decline in the volume of LASIK worldwide for many reasons.
Right.
Yeah? For many reasons. So, and more recently, in the last 10 years, there's another procedure where you can do to address your glasses. You can put a contact lens in your eye. So it's actually reversible. and has less of the complications, none of the complications, in fact, of these corneal refractive procedures.
The contact lens.
Yes, it's called ICL, this implantable contact lens in your eye.
Okay.
You know, Kenneth, I know we went to the same Cambridge, but, you know, I was never really that interested in ophthalmology when I was in medical school. For the benefit for the listeners and for the benefit of myself, let's talk about the corrective surgery, right? Okay, we have long-sighted and short-sighted. Effectively, LASIK are people who don't want to wear glasses.
For short sight.
Yeah. Okay, so short sight only. Can you just explain a little bit how that is done and why was it effective when you use laser to correct the cornea?
Short-sighted meaning you can't see far.
Can't see far, yeah. Okay. So it's quite easy to treat because you can't see far. You just have to reduce the curvature of your cornea by taking away tissue.
Okay, so
and
the laser itself
focuses the image onto the retina better.
So it's effectively the principle of LASIK was just shaving off the curvature so that the reflections can be corrective, and then the people who wear glasses don't really need to do
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Sounds simple enough, but we'll come back and find out more. If you have a question for us.
On the other hand, which you can't read near, that's much harder to treat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. If you have a question for us, give us a call. The number is 03-7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 01878-9899 or just tweet us at BFM Radio. We're discussing LASIK. Well, if you've had LASIK surgery and you want to share that experience, go ahead, call us. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you've done it and now you're concerned after what we're going to be talking about, call us. You know, ask the, Dr. Ken. It's not easy to get him in the studio, so he is here with us, consultant ophthalmologist and retinal surgeon. So the laser is actually just shaving off part of the cornea so that
the focus point of your image is focused accurately on the
retina
which is the most important part of the eye.
Okay. And is this procedure common in Malaysia?
It's very common. I'm sure you see advertisements for LASIK all over the place. One of the biggest issues worldwide really is the commercialization of this procedure, which is in fact led to many problems, one of which is the very big push to do as many patients as they can.
Right.
So worldwide, because of that, you don't screen the patients properly. So you have patients who are not suitable, but they have the procedure done. They have a complication and it affects everybody.
So not everyone is suited for LASIK.
Definitely not, no.
Okay,
no,
so who isn't suitable for LASIK?
There's a whole long list of contraindications for LASIK. I mean,
For example,
dry eyes. If you have pre-existing dry eyes, LASIK will make your dry eyes worse. If you have a very large pupil, you may not be suitable for LASIK as well. The reason why is that you treat a certain part of the cornea called the treatment zone. And if at night when you're driving, your pupil enlarges, if your pupil gets bigger than the treatment zone, you will see what we call halos, which are rings. And that can be very debilitating for the patient. There are many other things. The most important really is the personality of the patient, how suitable they are. You know, when I assess patients for cataract surgery, when they want to have a specific lens called a multifocal lens, where they want to read without glasses, see without glasses and everything, it's a very specific type of lens. You have to screen them carefully. Mm-hmm. So if they're very demanding, very unable to accept change or adapt, they may not be so suitable for these sort of refractive procedures.
I'm a bit surprised you said that because of commercialization of the procedure actually probably led to a lot of complication. I understand the part that you said when patients are not screened properly.
Yeah.
But in surgery, the principle of surgery is that the more you do the same procedure, the better you get at it, right? So, you're right.
No. This is driven purely by the device companies, the laser companies, and also the commercial clinic chains, which are owned by businesses.
Mm.
So they have targets to meet. You know, every month they have to do 500 procedures.
Right.
So the doctor or the surgeon who's seeing it, they might have no choice but to do the procedure.
Right.
And a lot of the time, the decision-making is taken out of the hands of the clinician.
Right.
So what you're seeing here is big business taking over healthcare.
I understand.
Yeah.
Take the care out of healthcare, really, in some way.
Correct.
So you said from the year 2000, the number of LASIK procedures have dropped.
Yep.
What are the reasons?
One of the important things is that the economic crisis, there have been several worldwide. I think that's led to a drop in disposable income. among a lot of population worldwide. Secondly, because of the complications, there's a lot of, you go to LASIK complications, you Google that word, there's many, many websites describing all the horror stories of laser refractive surgery. So patients are very put off by it. And secondly, it's price war. So there's a price war among different clinic chains and all that. And that leads to a perception that it's a not so exclusive procedure. And somehow it's a spiral, downward spiral in that sense. So worldwide, they've recognized that this is a big issue.
Right. Okay, yeah. So laser treatment, LASIK, is only about correcting short-sighted and long-sighted?
No, just
short. You can correct long-sight to a certain degree. It's not as reliable.
Okay, yeah, but so more so for short-sighted.
Yes, more.
That's it. And all you're doing is shaving the retina, to the cornea, to ensure that, you know, you get
the reflection
to
is accurate without the glasses.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Fantastic. So, yeah. I mean, but so it's been, you know, so let's talk about Dr. Morris Waxler, right?
Yeah.
He, for the past 12 years, led the US FDA team that they approved LASIK in 1999.
Yeah.
And now he's saying the approval was a mistake because of the number of adverse events that have been reported. No? So now, do we all panic?
No, what I happens, don't think so. I think
and what happens to all of us who have done LASIK in the past?
No, I honestly speaking, I think this is a sensational article, maybe by the online journal that published it. I got sent this article by several people as well. Essentially, it's safe. It is a safe procedure. 40 million people have had it done worldwide. You don't see 40 million people coming out in placards complaining they're going blind. There is a certain number, particularly those that have not been screened carefully, that have complications. And to be honest, most of the time you can fix it. Most of the time you can fix it. A lot of this really depends, boils down to the doctor treating the patient. If the doctor is not properly trained or has not enough experience dealing with this sort of cases, I think you're bound to have complications. Because, you know, to do LASIK, you just need to be an eye doctor. In fact, in UK at one stage when I was working there, there was a commercial chain recruiting GPs to do LASIK.
It is that simple that
they thought it was that simple, but thankfully the GPs felt, no way, I'm not going to touch this, you know, and it's still restricted to ophthalmologists, eye doctors, and they do need special training, you know. I don't do it. I don't feel confident enough to do it. I don't have the training to do it.
Right.
But I go for enough conferences and meetings to have a general idea of what overall it is. I do see the complications because a lot of them get referred to me. Yeah, I think I'm probably giving a more balanced view. I've got no commercial interest in promoting this procedure.
Okay, because I've done a show on the different types of blades that they use, and that's really quite important, the thickness of it and all of that.
Exactly,
so it's quite an interesting industry. Yeah. I suppose if you land in the right hands, you're fine. And we'll talk about that coming up. Who should you be going to if you do decide? But what's interesting is for everyone to realise that you may not be a candidate for LASIK.
No.
You need to weigh the pros and cons of actually doing LASIK. Yeah. So we're discussing laser surgery with Dr. Kenneth Fong and, of course, Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist. If you have a question for him, give us a call. The number is 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon. Welcome to Dr. George Lee's show. It's called Doctor in the House. Consultant urologist joining us on a Friday. You always know it's a Friday when he's
That's
on.
That's right.
And it's any time between 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock
and
when
you're
he's
ready
here
to have the weekend.
Yes, as soon as I'm done with you, George.
That's right.
Joining us also, Dr. Kenneth Fong, consultant ophthalmologist and retinal surgeon. We're discussing LASIK today. I think a lot of us have opted for LASIK to correct our eyesights. Many of us don't want to wear glasses. And so this is a very an option that's been available from the year 2000, you mentioned.
Before that.
Even before that.
Mid-90s.
Oh, sorry about that. The numbers have reduced from the year 2000.
Yeah, yeah.
And about 40 million people have done LASIK worldwide since then. So, you know, we're discussing this because there was an article where a former US FDA team member who was on the approval committee, who approved LASIK in 1999, is now saying that it was a mistake. Dr. Ken is actually now saying it was probably sensationalized a little.
Yeah.
But what is the evidence that show? What does the evidence show with regard to the safety of LASIK?
The evidence is very good. I mean, LASIK is probably one of the most well-researched procedures worldwide because it's essentially a cosmetic procedure.
Yes.
And you're operating on your eyes. So I think to have it to be approved in Europe, America, worldwide, you know, you need quite strict requirements. And certainly you have major conferences all over the world on this specific procedure. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, as a whole, it's well accepted as a very good procedure that many, many patients have benefited from.
Okay.
And it's been life-changing. I've met patients who have friends and relatives who had it done, and mm-hmm. they felt it was life-changing to be free of their contact lenses and glasses. You know, if you think about it, many people wear contact lenses for many, many years. Some of them even sleep with their contact lenses. Mm-hmm. And the risk and complications from contact lenses is probably much higher than the risk of LASIK.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we underestimate the dangers of sleeping with contact lenses. But Dr. Wexler's point of contention with the FDA is in the way that they report adverse events. Mm-hmm. What did he mean by that? Is that a very narrow definition by the FDA?
Yeah, I think when you do a clinical study in the first year or so, the company that does the trial, they have to report the events, and you know, it can be serious, moderate or mild. And I think what the official statement is about 1%, the adverse events, but what it didn't say is that the cumulative adverse events. So rather than 1% as a whole, it could be more than that. So for example, if a patient had dry eyes, glare and halos, or pain after LASIK, they'll be considered, maybe they would just classify as that one patient having that complication,
right,
rather than three complications in that one patient.
Okay.
So it's a very different way of looking at complication rates.
Okay. If you have a question for Dr. Ken Fong or Dr. George Lee, the phone number to call is 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have Susie on the line. Susie, hi, how are you?
Hi, Susie.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead. You have a question. Hi.
Yeah, my question is, with so many private eye clinics nowadays, you see them everywhere, how do we know which ones are competent enough that we can go there for LASIK?
Okay, right. Thank you very much, Susie.
Are you contemplating LASIK, Susie?
Okay, she's gone. All right.
Well, that's a great question. So I think it comes down to what you're going to come to about, you know, where to go for LASIK. As I said before, I don't do this procedure. I don't have any commercial interest in it. I think the first thing to look for is a doctor, mm-hmm. most importantly. Many of the commercial chains focus on their own brand as a whole, and then you only see the doctor on the day of the procedure, where the doctor comes to do the procedure. So it's very important that you spend enough time talking to the surgeon who's going to do your procedure.
Of course.
Because the way commercial chains work is they want volume. So mm-hmm. they might screen hundreds of patients, and a doctor certainly cannot do that. So the work is subcontracted out to optometrists who are essentially trained in the eye, mm-hmm. eye role, but they're not doctors. And then these optometrists do a certain checklist of all the tests you have to do. And then only then after that, you might get to see the doctor for maybe 5 to 10 minutes.
All right. So it's almost like a conveyor belt.
It is a conveyor belt. I mean, it's a volume game. When you're doing this refractive surgery, you're aiming for high numbers of volume.
And what you're highlighting is that the doctor needs to do that very important scrutinization, get to know the patients,
exactly.
and then identifying what are the pros and cons, whether this patient is suitable
exactly.
or not. Kenneth, how many versions of LASIK are there?
At the moment, there's three types. Okay, the traditional LASIK, where you make a cut in the cornea, make a flap, and then use another laser called an excimer laser to reshape the cornea. Then a more latest one is called SMILE. I can't remember the full what it stands for, but basically it's removing a portion of the cornea mm-hmm. from a lenticule from within the cornea itself. There's no flap in SMILE. And then lastly, PRK, which is actually resurfacing the whole cornea from the top without a flap.
And are these trademarked to certain companies that every time it's done, somebody makes a profit out of it? Is there
there's what we call a click fee. So all the companies that produce these laser machines will have locked it down. So each time the doctor wants to use it, they have to pay a certain fee.
Right.
So that's how the company makes money on the recurring costs on top of the maintenance.
Hence, you have certain concerns about such commercializations.
Exactly, yeah,
and then
yeah.
eventually it might not be care-driven.
No, I think most certainly this is a commercial way to do it. I mean, and you can't have this in no public service in the world offers refractive surgery.
Okay.
Just a second. So LASIK, SMILE and PRK are all refractive surgeries.
To the cornea. But they're all three very different procedures.
Are they all laser?
Yes.
It's all
using different types of laser.
Just a different procedure in how they
reshape your cornea.
The cornea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We have a question online. We have someone on the line. Can we answer that question, please? Hi, who's on the line?
Hi.
Yes, go ahead. You have a question.
I have been diagnosed with keratoconus on my left eye.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering, is LASIK a way to treat it, or what kind of treatment can I seek?
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Great question.
First, you have to explain what...
Okay. Keratoconus.
Oh, keratoconus.
Yeah, keratoconus means the cornea becomes a cone.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about the front of your eye, it should be shaped like a football, a round, nice sphere. That's perfect vision. But most of us have corneas that are shaped like rugby balls. So they're steep in one corner, flat in the other. That's quite normal. That's called astigmatism. A small number of patients have this thing called keratoconus, where the cornea becomes like a volcano.
Okay.
So it's peaked. And a lot of these patients have it because they rub their eyes too much, usually because of allergy or habit or whatnot. And these patients are the number one patients that you should not operate on. This is an absolute contraindication for LASIK. In fact, if you do LASIK on patients with keratoconus, you make it even worse and their corneas will completely move out of shape.
Okay.
So the treatment of keratoconus is the opposite, really. We want to strengthen the cornea. We don't want to take away tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a procedure called corneal collagen cross-linking, where they use ultraviolet light to strengthen the cornea itself. Extreme cases of keratoconus, you need to do a corneal graft. So it's a big operation where you replace the cornea.
Okay.
You replace the cornea.
Replace the
you
cornea.
You can't reshape it.
No.
Okay.
I mean, let's say the collar.
So LASIK cannot be done then, as
most
you
definitely. The whole point of all these screening exercises and all the tests you do is to pick up these patients. And there's another group of patients, subclinical keratoconus. So before... We're trying to pick them up before they're obviously keratoconus, and that's very important.
What is the worst case scenario? If somebody had actually had LASIK done for the wrong reasons, can they ever go blind?
They can. Keratoconus can be very debilitating. You can't see clearly at all. Everything's distorted.
Okay.
And these patients will need a corneal graft.
If somebody sadly ended up in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong complications, would there be any corrective operations to regain their vision?
Yes, I think if you're fixing the cornea, you can replace the cornea. So with any procedure, infection is the worst thing you worry about.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get an infection after LASIK or refractive procedure, you can cause a haze, which is clouding of your cornea, which can be quite difficult to treat. And they may require further procedures.
So there was a reason why my grandmother always said, don't rub your eyes.
Yes.
Yeah
rubbing your
always
eyes.
Always listen to grandmother.
Yeah, there was a perfectly good reason.
And to eat your carrots and vegetables. We talked about this years ago.
No, see, who would have thought rubbing your eyes can change the shape of your cornea?
Oh, definitely.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yes. Stop doing that now.
But let's talk about SMILE. SMILE, the other type of...
Yeah.
I've got the acronym is SMILE, but it's called Small Incision Lenticule Extraction.
Sure.
Now, there are also known complications to SMILE. Is that very common in Malaysia? As in SMILE itself, is it available?
Yeah, I think it's been around for about 4 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest issue now we have is... To differentiate the commercial clinics to differentiate themselves from LASIK, they say they do SMILE, which is the more advanced procedure, less complications, safer. So then that adds another level of what we call fear to LASIK, that because it's older and more complications.
Mm-hmm.
So SMILE itself, the track record is less than LASIK. So it's a newer procedure. There's still a learning curve. But from what I've seen, the results are good, very predictable. I've had relatives and friends who've had it done and are very happy. So
Is it truly a improved version of LASIK?
It's different. It's completely different because you're taking away a small tissue within the cornea where you're not making a flap. Because by cutting a flap, that's what we think causes the dry eyes, because the cornea itself is the most highly innervated structure in your body. That's why if you get a scratch in your eye, it's the most horrific pain you can ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So if you cut the corneal nerves when you do LASIK, you cause dry eye.
Right.
And that actually is the biggest complaint of all patients who've had LASIK, dry
eyes. It's the most what structure in the body, did you
innovated,
say?
Innervated.
With most nerves.
Nerves, very painful. So if you scratch your eye... it's horrible, the pain.
I see. Okay. That explains a lot. Okay, we have another caller. Sule, you have a question.
Hi, Sule.
Hi. Yes, I want to ask because I am contemplating to get to go on through the LASIK surgery.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have really bad eyesight, like 1,000 power. So is there a better solution to this, or a LASIK is a good procedure to go through?
Thank you for
the
question.
So that's another great question. So it talks about the limits of LASIK. Really, realistically speaking, laser refractive surgery can correct up to 800 comfortably. Once you go beyond that, you have to take out a lot of tissue that puts the patient at risk of developing keratoconus in the future. So,
can you explain a little bit all these numbers to the listeners? Like, what do you mean by correcting 800?
So 800 is your spectacle power. So in reality, it's minus 8.0 diopters. But in layman's term, we always ask, what's your power? So mine's 100, 200. So the higher your power is, the more short-sighted you are.
Okay.
And the more short-sighted you are, the greater the risk of complications in the future from retinal problems, from cataract, from glaucoma.
Okay. So what would you advise Sule, who is obviously very, very troubled by 1,000 plus power and quite
Is she a candidate?
Keen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't think, immediately looking at it, I don't think she'd be a good candidate for laser refractive procedure. She'll be a good candidate for ICL, which is implantable contact lenses.
Okay.
So that's a very good alternative, in fact, for many of these high myopes, as we call them, because you just put a transparent contact lens in their eye, and then you fix their vision. It's a bit more expensive than LASIK, but has less complications associated with it.
Would something like that be permanently resolve Sue's problems, Sule's problems?
Yeah, I think so, definitely.
Okay, we have another question here from... let me see. John is saying, I'm 56-year-old male, been wearing rigid gas permeable contact lenses since he was 15. He has a high power in both eyes and astigmatism. He wants to know if John is suitable for LASIK.
Yeah, so we're talking about the age range. What's the ideal age to have LASIK? The ideal age to have LASIK is between 20 to 35.
Okay.
Once you reach 35...
Just my age.
Once you reach above the age of 35 towards 40, you're becoming what we call presbyopic. So that means you need reading glasses as a senior. So if I were to correct, if a surgeon were to correct your LASIK, to your myopia at age of 40, so you see perfect distance vision, but you need reading glasses for near. So that sort of defeats the purpose of having a refractive procedure done. For someone like John, who's 56, he probably has a bit of cataract development in his eye as well.
Right.
So he wouldn't be suitable for LASIK at that age. If he really wanted to get rid of his glasses, cataract surgery would be the best option for him.
That's what I was told. You're older and wait, cataract's going to come soon. Just fix it once and for all. Forget the LASIK.
Yeah, you have to understand.
I love how we are so enthusiastic about it. And how we can just talk about this like it's nothing.
But if you're very myopic and you have cataract surgery, the risks are higher.
I see.
So you have to be, choose a doctor, go to get all the information and decide.
Right.
Okay. Auta Singh is saying, I'm one of the 40 million patients who did LASIK in 1999. I'm 49 now and till today I don't wear glasses.
Okay.
Yeah, there are many, many happy patients.
Would an article that's published by Dr. Watzler earlier alarm many people like Auta Singh, who actually had the operation done? Because once it's fixed, the complications were initial stages, right? There won't be any long-term later on stage complications.
A small proportion of patients continue to complain. But these group of patients also probably have an element of psychological issues. So they will go for cosmetic, so it's the same as you're going for cosmetic procedures on your face or whatever. I think you have to be very careful. So they've probably not been carefully selected, and that's why they're still not happy with the procedures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think as long as the clinic or the doctor has done the thorough examination, excluded all the possible diseases that contraindicate for LASIK, I think it's a very safe procedure.
I mean, on that basis, there are 40 million who had it done. We had, people who vouched that this is the best thing that they've done. Would the Dr. Watzler's... anecdotal claim that he regretted this on approving in the first place, would that be a very irresponsible thing to say without any scientific backup?
Well, he's no longer an employee of the FDA. So there was, if you read that whole article, there was a rebuttal from the FDA itself stating the facts that, you know, they had, this is, you know, a very accurate assessment from themselves that led to the approval.
Yeah, because perhaps a personal opinion.
I think so, yeah.
And then as a result of that, probably create unnecessary alarm, even though you said that it's been sensationalized.
I think so. I think, you know, I don't do this procedure. I've said it many times. But, you know, I think there's a great number of people out there, for example, cabin crew, sportsmen, people who find wearing glasses and contact lenses very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And a procedure like this is life-changing.
Of course.
Imagine having to wake up every morning and you can see clearly. I think that's a very exciting mm-hmm. thing for many people.
Okay.
Why haven't you done it?
Yes, exactly. This is what we're personal
questions. We'll come
questions.
Back. After the Bursa update, we'll find out why Dr. Ken Fong hasn't done LASIK or SMILE or PRK. Coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome back. It's our Doctor in the House series, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio with me. He can't feel his feet apparently because he just went up Mount Kinabalu and came back. But joining us also Dr. Kenneth Fong, consultant ophthalmologist and a retinal surgeon. We're discussing LASIK, which is eye refractive surgery. A lot of us opt to do it to fix our corneas, to get rid of our short-sightedness. Dr. Kenneth Fong has also spoken about how it can be used in some instances for long-sighted people, people who do have long-sightedness, but not that common.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting facts, 40 million people worldwide have done LASIK over the years, and we are discussing this because one of the team members of the US FDA who approved LASIK in 1999 is now saying that he felt that the approval was a mistake. Dr. Ken Fong is just saying now he feels it's pretty much sensationalized. We shouldn't be panicking at this stage, but I'm sure you see some of those complications, Dr. Ken. We'll come back to those complications. If you have a question for us, give us a call, the number 03-7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Felix, you have a question for us.
Hi, Felix.
Hi, yeah, this is Philip here.
Oh, Philip, all right. Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. Yeah, I'm 54 now, and I think I'm too late to do any LASIK or laser. Right, there's no point.
Yep.
But I wonder, because I have high astigmatism, about 200 plus or so, but no short sightedness and things like that. But I still have to wear glasses. But I wonder, I heard of removing of cataract can be done earlier before the problem comes. Is that right? Or do I have to wait until I have cataract and only I can do the cataract surgery?
Okay, Dr. Kenneth. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Philip. Well, this is as a preventive measure, Philip is asking.
He's, how old is he again?
54.
Oh, yeah. I mean, essentially, anybody over the age of 50 will have some degree of cataract.
Uh-huh.
It's a normal aging process. So
right.
I think it's perfectly reasonable for him to get an opinion to have the cataract operation with a lens implant to correct his astigmatism. And we can also correct his presbyopia. So a lot of the time, they have a multifocal toric lens implant put into their eye. They can see far, they can see near, without glasses.
Is there any advantage for Philip to do it earlier? And if he does it earlier, does that mean that he will not... is it necessary for him to do it again in the future?
No, once you've removed the cataract, it doesn't come back again. So it's a pretty safe procedure. I tell this to my patients every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets cataracts. All of us will need this procedure
so
sooner
then
or later.
Should we all think of doing cataracts at the age of 50?
It depends.
Depends whether it's affecting your
because
life.
Because essentially...
But I can do it in advance since it's going to happen anyway,
but
Dr.
why?
Ken?
I mean, if you're happy as you are, there's no reason to do it. Because as you know, technology improves. We have, in 10 years' time, you could have eye drop that melts your cataract away.
Mm.
You know, so you know, I can't tell the future.
That will
but,
keep you, that
out
keep
of
you jobless.
Yeah.
You don't want that to be developed.
I might be retired by then, don't you?
That is true.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean,
so we go to Antarctica and then to cruise there.
We didn't tell you, we're both working on those eye drops.
Yeah. Well, there is research being done on that. I mean,
really?
There's a whole program in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think that's at least, I would say 10, 15 years to go, because cataract is a very complex disease. It's not so simple,
of course,
to just remove it with drops. Yeah.
Okay. So you wouldn't say, so what you're saying is deal with it when it becomes a problem.
Yes. And if the patient's motivated to be free of glasses, I think that's a perfectly reasonable option. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And under those circumstances, earlier always better. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have another question via WhatsApp, and this person is saying, I'm not a suitable candidate for LASIK as I have a hole in the retina. My eye power is 1,000.
Yeah.
How safe or reliable is ICL for me? Is mm-hmm. it recommended? This is GAN.
Yeah. I think ICL...
What is ICL?
ICL is implantable collamer lens. Or if some people think it's contact lens, but actually it's a very thin piece of artificial lens that mm-hmm. you put into your eye in front of your natural lens behind your pupil.
Okay.
Okay, so what's important is the size. We need to measure the size of the eye. Is there enough space to put the contact lens in?
Mm-hmm.
And if there is suitable space, enough space, and we can put it in. For regards to the hole in the retina, I think if it's treated, the retina looks safe, I think it's perfectly reasonable to do it.
Okay, yeah. All right then. So coming back to our question to you, Dr. Ken, why haven't you done LASIK? Or you're pretty young, I'm sure. You're not been waiting for cataracts to happen yet.
You're only in 20s.
Yeah, early 20s, I wish.
George is only 35.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, I've had worn glasses since I was 8. My power is not very high. It's about 350, minus 3.5. And actually, I found that since I became presbyopic when I turned 45 years ago, I'm 45 this year, when I take off my glasses, I can read very well.
Ah.
So essentially, you know, I'm not at a stage where my power is so high that I'm disabled by it. And as you know, when we did our training in the UK, housemanship, surgical jobs, a lot of the time you do long hours. So contact lenses were a pain. I didn't wear it. And you get blood. When you're doing surgery, you might get splatter in your eye and all that. And I found that the glasses were a very useful protective thing for me throughout my career.
Okay.
All right. And so hence, you know, you get used to it since the age of 8, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's no big deal.
But 10 years ago, in the hype of the LASIK's popularity, you would be a perfect candidate for it.
Yes, you're absolutely right. But because I'm in my eyesight is very important for me. When I do surgery, even if you tell me there's a 1% risk of complications, that's still 1% too high for me.
You just don't want to take that risk.
Because I get perfect vision for my glasses. I'm perfectly happy. My wife is happy the way I look. She's not complaining.
All right.
So I think I'm you know, so it's down to the person and also the job. I think if I was a professional sports person or something in the entertainment line where glasses are probably not so suitable, I think that would be more suitable.
Okay. Indeed. We have Ms. Wong on the line. Hi, Ms. Wong. You have a question.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hello, everybody. My question is, I have a retinal problem,
Okay.
Actually, my eyes are born normal. But in my 20s, I had about 7 years of insomnia. I couldn't sleep well, and my eyes would be dry and painful.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I managed to sleep. But then I find that my retina was weakened. And now I can't see bright light. I can't see TV. I can't use a smartphone.
Mm.
You know, because the retina will tense up, you know, and it will affect my brain and my sleep.
Yeah. Okay.
So, your question, Ms. Wong?
My question is there any way Dr. Fong can tell me how to use a smartphone so that my eyes won't my retina won't tense up? Because I find that when my eyes tense up, I have to massage my eye.
Thank you for the question.
Would you have more questions for Ms. Wong? Okay, that's all right. She's gone off now.
Okay, right.
Was that enough information for you?
Yeah, it's a very general, difficult without seeing her, but I think she's more describing symptoms of dry eyes.
Oh, right.
So, and also if she's already hit 40, middle age, I think reading glasses.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I noticed, my friends, the smartphone is to increase the font size on your smartphone.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so if you don't want to look old, wearing reading glasses, reading WhatsApp, you can actually set it to increase the font. So
okay, So that yeah. will help her to read properly. But, yes. you know, do you think the smartphones actually is contributing towards her dry
yeah,
eyes?
Yeah, the blue light and all of that.
No. Blue lights, that's not true. I mean, our eyes are natural blue light filters. The mm-hmm. cornea and lens in our eye filters mm-hmm. out 99% of the harmful UV radiation or whatever there is. Mm-hmm. So I feel that, you know, if you're going to spend extra money putting blue light filters in your spectacles, it's really not necessary.
Okay.
Because there's no really strong evidence for that.
All right, okay.
And the reflection of from the computer screen and all that is actually related to your eyes not blinking. Mm-hmm. You're staring too long. You have a bad posture. Your neck is hunched over your phone. Mm-hmm. That leads to headaches and all sorts of things. Okay. So this is a whole different topic itself.
Not the blue light. Yeah. Okay.
No. I mean, what about the, people looking at a screen for too long? Do you think it's harmful to your eyes, the vision at all? Like,
yeah,
you know, telephone?
I think generally speaking, you know, staring at a computer, which is a screen all day long, is very bad. So there's a rule that every hour you rest for 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very and good you're advice. Supposed to look far, right?
Yeah, far, or just close your eyes, you know, don't look at your phone, you know, just try.
Every 10 minutes?
Every hour.
Or every hour?
Every hour, just take a 5-10 minute break.
Okay, yeah. Every
Stretch
hour.
Okay, that's way all right.
Bad. Yeah, we're all right.
Yeah. I thought it was every 20 minutes.
No.
So we have Lawrence who says he has lasered both eyes, but his right eye is affected by dry eyes.
Yeah.
His left eye is all right. So he's asking if there's any remedy for that eye.
Yes, dry
for
eyes.
For the dry eye.
Dry eyes is unfortunately just drops.
That's
the only treatment. That's the biggest frustration of many, many LASIK patients I've come across. They have mm-hmm. to use artificial teardrops lifelong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. My 82-year-old mother has got cataracts. Smile versus cataracts. What's the difference from the conventional one? What are the advantages?
Two completely different procedures.
Of course, yeah.
Completely different. Smile is for the younger age group with myopia, so cornea. Someone who's 82 just gets a straightforward cataract operation and she'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. You know, you said you see patients who come in with complications of LASIK, Dr. Ken. Do you think complications are often played down and we're not told very much about it? Only somebody like you will come in contact with people who go through complications?
Not really. I think the refractive surgery doctors, my colleagues out there who do many, many of these procedures, highly experienced, they see many of them and they deal with them. So not that many come out to me. I mean, those who are really bad who've come for the third or fourth opinion would. And if you look at the consent form mm-hmm. for a procedure like refractive surgery, it's like 3 or 4 pages long.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So you have to be, you know, it's well-informed.
Okay. Right. Yeah. We have Osman on the line. Osman, you have a question for us.
Hi, Osman.
Hello. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Okay. I'm going 62 in a few months from now.
Okay.
Okay. Actually, many, many years ago, I've got my this... and you cannot see far. What is it?
Short-sightedness, yep.
Okay, lah. But I have that now. So my range was 200 something, 300. But I seldom wear specs. So most of the time, even in meeting, I don't have problem with seeing or reading, that kind of thing. It's only when I'm driving at long distance, then mm-hmm. maybe I put on my specs. So most of the time, I avoid wearing specs.
Okay.
But lately, a few months ago, then I noticed that, some traffic light, they have the timer to show you when the red is going to change to green.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I found that I can difficult for me to read. And then some of the signage of the distance out to the mm-hmm. next stop, I think I was having problem of reading already. So, okay, that is one problem. It looks like my eyesight is getting more and more blur.
Yeah.
The other thing is lately I noticed that the past couple of months, I feel that there's over my eye, I see if there is a shade over it, you know, like a crust, you know, like something blocking my eyesight.
Yeah. So what's the question, Osman?
So, okay, I've been contemplating to see a doctor now. Who should I see?
Oopsie,
and then
okay.
The second question, what problem should I solve? Is it my reading problem or my eyesight that is not becoming overcast? I don't know.
Thank you, Osman.
Okay, thank you very much.
So what's the diagnosis and what should Osman do?
I think
see
the first
a doctor.
No. I think he should see an optometrist first to check his glasses. So sometimes the spectacle is out of alignment.
Of course.
The lenses are dirty or cracked. They may need to be replaced. If the optometrist cannot get him to 6-6, which is perfect vision reading, then they'll refer it on to the ophthalmologist, which is the eye doctor.
Good advice. Okay. Yeah.
All right then. You know, do you think like with LASIK now and you think it's being sensationalized, but then you've also said that a lot of unqualified people are carrying out laser surgery.
I wouldn't say unqualified. I think they're probably less well-trained. Mm-hmm. In an ideal world, a person that does corneal refractive surgery should be a corneal specialist.
Mm-hmm.
So that means after training to be an eye doctor, they do further subspecialty training on the part of the eye, the cornea. So mm-hmm. they learn how to do corneal grafts, they learn how to manage keratoconus and all those other related diseases, and then also treating refractive surgery. But because the majority of the refractive surgeons out there are what we call, they are ophthalmologists with no subspecialty training. So it's absolutely fine. They can do the procedure, but they may not have a better understanding of the different diseases to manage with the cornea. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you think regulations need to be relooked? Have we become a bit lax with regulations?
I think the regulations are fine as it is. We have a national specialist register. So, you know, if you're past a postgraduate exam in ophthalmology, you can do cataract surgery, you can do LASIK. You know, there's nothing to stop you from doing that.
Okay, so as a person who's wanting to look for somebody who does LASIK, or if I'm thinking about it, what are some of the questions I should be asking and who should I be going to see?
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, you have to do your research. I mean, most important, I always tell the patients, is chair time with the actual doctor doing your procedure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spend at least 10, 15 minutes, you know, sometimes even longer talking about it. Because a lot of the time you're rushed through.
Mm.
You're screened by an optometrist who's not doing your procedure, just doing the test.
So don't be rushed and ask all the questions that you have in your mind.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing. I mean, there's no specific clinic or whatever. I mean, I think it's an individual basis. And I think word of mouth, actually. Word of mouth is the strongest promoter. If you have friends or relatives who had it done by one doctor and they're all happy, I think that's usually a good sign.
Mm. Okay, all right then. We're running out of time. Would you have a message for us, Dr. Ken?
Oh, yeah, I mean, basically, you know, refractive corneal refractive surgery is here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been a life-saving procedure, life-changing procedure for many, many patients worldwide. So complications exist with any operation. We just have to learn how to manage them.
Ask the right questions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, George, you're hitting 50 this year, aren't you?
Sorry,
get ready to do 50. Your cataracts.
Yeah, cataracts on my list. I'm saying bucket list of cataract. Okay. This is an eye-opening session, Zach, for two reasons. Number one is that I think this is the first time I really understand this whole mixture of commercialization with healthcare. I think you're right that to some extent there needs to be a balance. At the end of the day, we cannot take the care out of healthcare. Yeah. So the doctors, consultations, and then should resist that commercialization part of things. The second thing is that obviously with this FDA lead who made comments like that, I think whatever we say in many ways actually have detrimental effect and can be sensationalized and take out of context. And therefore, that is another lesson to take away.
Thank you both very much for sharing your thoughts with me today. Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist, and joining us, Dr. Kenneth Fong, consultant ophthalmologist and retinal surgeon, speaking to us about LASIK, whether it's safe or not. Well, the evidence is out there. It is safe. Just ask the right questions, do your research, and you'll be okay. This is The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.